you have a chain? Thank you. Our next speaker is Michael Reeves, who's also with the Cardno Emerging Markets, and he's a manager with 7 years' experience with international development assistance projects. His experience and expertise ranges from health system strengthening, organizational and management capacity building, grants and funds management, and performance-based financing. He manages a portfolio of projects for various clients, including USAID and the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, TB, and Malaria, on which he provides management oversight and technical assistance. And he's going to talk about rethinking health decentralization and lessons from Uganda.
Okay, thank you. We didn't plan it this way, but I think it's rather nice that I'm following Rick's presentation, because I think a lot of the elements of his, you'll see it in my presentation. So, no disclosures to make. The purpose of the presentation is to provide sort of a high-level qualitative analysis of health decentralization projects in order to provide some recommendations for donors in the design phase of these programs. And I'm going to use a program that Cardno is managing in Uganda right now. It's called the Strengthening Decentralization for Sustainability Program, SDS. And we've been in the program for about a year and a half now, and so I'm going to take some lessons from that project and see if we can develop some recommendations for design going forward for donors, not just USAID. General outline, we can talk a little bit about what is decentralization if you're not familiar, the SDS methodology, results to date, and some implications for design. So if you're not too familiar, I'll just give a very general overview of decentralization. Essentially, it's a political process whereby authority is reduced from a central government and increased in a regional district or local governments, depending on the setup. And most of my experience is more in sub-Saharan Africa, especially Uganda and Zambia with this. So that's kind of where I'm coming from with this. It's not necessarily health-specific. But it has really a broad impact on health financing availability and quality. So the SDS program, what is it all about? Really, we're trying to strengthen the decentralization process in order to improve health services. Now, we have... It's a five-year project. It's USAID funded. We've been in operation for about a year and a half now. And we work in 35 districts throughout Uganda. Now I say it's really geared towards health, but we work at the district level. We're not working with a particular health office, so really a lot of our interventions are cross-cutting. So they could affect education services, water services, not just health. We have three main objectives, or you can call them interventions, maybe. One is to improve coordination between USAID health projects and districts. This is important because in many districts in Uganda, again, districts is sort of like the next lower administrative unit down from the central government. You may have, just with USAID programs, you may have maybe up to 10 programs doing activities in a single district, yet that district actually may not know what those programs are doing. Those programs may not be included in what's called a district development plan, which sort of guides all the activities which the district is overseeing and resource allocation. So there's all these activities, they're uncoordinated, there could be overlap. So there's a better way of making use of those resources. So we're trying to improve the coordination between those programs and the districts, and eventually expand it to non-USAID donors, so EU and DFID projects as well. The next main objective is to strengthen the capacity of districts and also sub-counties to plan, budget, and monitor their services. So this means providing assistance and training to district planners and how to properly budget and plan for these services. And third, and I think this is probably one of the more innovative aspects of the program, we're providing direct cash grants to these districts to help them complement existing service delivery programs and also help finance capacity building programs. So take, for example, if a district feels that they have a need to train some of their staff in accounting procedures, our grants, they could use those grants to buy computers or to actually pay for the training themselves. So we may not actually provide the direct training, but we would provide the resources for them to do that. But one important aspect is that these grants are performance-based. So if they say they're going to do something, they've got to do it. Otherwise, their funding could be reduced or they could lose funding in the next round of grants. This may be a little bit hard to read, but I wanted to include it. It's sort of the general overview of our methodology, but essentially what it shows is the inner circle is sort of like the local government process, from taking into account citizen views, incorporating it into the district planning process, receiving funds from the central government, and then starting to implement activities. And so we show on the outer bubbles where SDS fits in with our grants and our technical assistance. So we're not trying to introduce new systems, new processes. We're trying to fit within existing government processes and strengthen them. I thought it was worth noting, this program has some ties to the Global Health Initiative principles, principally country ownership and country-led plans. So we're supporting development of district development plans, strengthening them, providing these grants to districts to help them meet the objectives in their development plans. And also the other principle would be increasing impact through strategic coordination integration. And we're doing that by supporting district coordination of USAID and other donor activities in the health field. So I would say we have some limited results to date. I mean, we've been in operation for about a year and a half, but some of these are significant. One major accomplishment is that we've started to disperse these performance-based grants to all of our 35 districts, and that's about 400,000. By the end of the program, we're hoping to give out about 16 million in grants to all these districts. I think the other major result we have is that we've helped 35 districts perform baseline assessments to identify management gaps which lead to poor service delivery. This is not just health, but it could also include other service delivery sectors. So when we did these baseline assessments, it wasn't simply our teams coming into a district office saying, show me some documentation, I have some questions for you. Really, it was our staff coming in, sharing an approach with district staff and saying, how can we help you actually perform a self-assessment on yourselves? So it was really more of a partnership and a transfer of skills to the district officials. And then the other major one is that it seems very simple, but we actually found it was probably the first time it's been done, and it was very unique in Uganda. But we facilitated regional and district coordination meetings with all the major USAID projects. This actually does happen between the USAID projects from time to time. They will get together and share experiences, but we did it at the regional level first to go over, okay, what's Program A doing, what's Program B doing, and what's Program C doing, and then let's see, are they overlapping? Are we doing things that one program should actually be doing? Are we wasting resources? We then took it down to the district level. And so we had meetings in each district chaired by district chief administrative officers, and with all the programs involved in their district. And this, in many districts, is actually the first time this had happened. Because like I said, many districts don't actually know what programs are involved in their district, who's doing what. And so it was the first time districts could see who is doing what, where are the resources going. And then just in summary, it's basically assisting the districts take control of resources and activities in the areas. I think in this year and a half, we have some lessons learned, which will dovetail then into the sort of the recommendations for design. One is with these meetings, district officials seem to genuinely appreciate the change in the relationship with the donors. We're putting them more in the driver's seat. So instead of a partner of a project coming to the district and saying, I have this much money, I'm going to do this in your district, now we're trying to change that relationship to the district saying, I have these needs, what resources do you have? We found that cultivating relationships with the districts, it takes time. It takes time to build trust with local government officials. And so, you know, achievement of some tangible results can take longer. You can't simply get results in a year, even though that's what many donors are looking for. We've also found that interventions on a national scale, because we are, 35 districts across Uganda, you can very easily spread your resources very quickly. And so you have a limited pool of qualified staff, and when you start to spread them out, the impact, you sort of lose meaningful impact. And I think one sort of surprising lesson was with the coordination aspect is that donors, but particularly sort of the projects, the implementing partners, will resist coordination to some degree. They all have existing contracts, objectives, mandates, and they may not necessarily fit into, you know, a district-led model. And, you know, in their contracts, they have agreements that they have to keep to, they have goals that they have to keep to, and so that's something that kind of came up as we're working at districts and projects to have a more coordinated effort. And it wasn't that projects and implementing partners didn't want to coordinate. It was more that they had these existing contracts. Let's see, I may skip a couple of these. One other lesson I would like to talk about is, before I move on to the last slide, is I think we found that the lasting impact, it's much more likely when the programs fit within strengthening existing and ongoing processes. I think we found that, you know, on paper, many countries have, including Uganda, actually have pretty good processes for, say, financing flows from the central to the local governments, and within the local governments, they have pretty good processes for accounting for money and doing planning and budgeting. Usually it's like a resource constraint. They can't train all the staff. They can't even print out all the policies and procedures, so they need extra resources in many ways. So I'm just going to jump to the implications for program design. I think one of the big ones we found is these are long-term interventions. They can't be done over just a couple years. What you're really trying to do is change institutions and processes. And so I think from our viewpoint, you're looking much more at five-year timelines when designing a program. Measurement is hugely critical. You've got to be able to tell, have your impacts on decentralization had any effect on service delivery. And, you know, one thing is maybe you need to measure after a program ends. Usually you would measure in the program life, but if you're talking about impact takes much longer, you know, donors may actually have to do some some measurement after their program ends. And I've talked about the concentrating resources and also fitting within local government. So that's it, I think. Are we on time?
Yep.
Okay.